بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected elders, my young friends, my brothers and sisters, dear visitors, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We are all here, of course, because it's Friday, because it's a PA day, inshallah. And we congregate here every Friday. And just like that, last Friday we had a brother who was sitting with us, and he was sitting right here in front of us, just as we are today. And he prayed with us, and he sat with us, and he spoke to us, and he went out for coffee with some of his friends after Jumu'ah. But this Friday, he is no longer in the same dimension in which we are in. We offered his janazah prayer yesterday, and we ask again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him forgiveness and a great, wonderful welcome in the next dimension, as we pray for all of our brothers and sisters, our friends, our elders, our youngsters, who have also passed on into that dimension. In our society today, we are usually very reluctant to speak and hear about what comes next. We all know that nothing exists forever. So, my car recently died. Well, there was a minor crash and it was written off, right? So when I received the car, I actually got it as a wedding gift, you know, from one of my relatives. So when I received the new car, I had no idea when it was going to end, right? It was a brand new car. I enjoyed it. I drove it for 6 years, mashallah, over 6 years, 210,000 kilometers. When it got to 200,000, I posted a picture on Facebook. I was pretty happy about this car, alhamdulillah. But the moment I got into it, the moment it was built, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew where it was going to stop, where its life was going to end. And it was destined to be, you know, at the corner of Princess and Berridge at that particular time, 1:07 p.m., December 18th, and that was it. And after that, that car did not move on its own 1 inch. That was it. That was where it was destined to stop and end, and then end up in the junkyard or wherever it went. Right? So our lives are the same way. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life. He has given us all these blessings. We were born on a particular date and we had no choice to choose when we were born, where we were born, whom we were born to, what color we were, which ethnicity we were. We had no choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time, even before that, has decided already where it's going to end. But we just don't know about it. Just like I didn't know about my car. Right? So that's going to come at a particular point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it would be wise for us to talk about it. It would be wise for us to prepare for it. For those of us who are students, or who have been students recently, or who are students right now, how would you like it if you just walked in to a class one day and your professor, your teacher told you, oh, today's an exam, we have an exam today. Right? You wouldn't want that to happen. You would like to know beforehand. Right? In the beginning of the semester, at the beginning of the year, you want to know, okay, when are the tests going to be? Especially if you're a wise student, maybe you don't care, but I hope you do. You know, you want to know, everyone wants to know, when's my evaluation going to take place? When is my test going to happen? What is going to be the format? Is it going to be multiple choice? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be, you know, essay questions? What is it going to cover? Which chapters? This, that. Why? Because we want to prepare. We want to be well prepared. We don't want to walk in one day and realize that, oh, there's supposed to be a test today and I had no clue. No clue that this was going to happen. So therefore, it would be wise for us to talk and to reflect and to contemplate so that we can understand what happens and we can prepare for it as well. So normally, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about death. We don't like to talk about the end because it's associated with negativity. We think that it is, you know, it's seen as the end of our existence. It's the end of everything that we know of right now and that we enjoy and that we look forward to. Now, of course, there's sadness as well. And the Prophet ﷺ even shed tears when he lost a loved one, when he lost his son, when he lost people who were close to him, the Prophet ﷺ was sad and he was grieving as well. So there's nothing wrong with that, and that's perfectly natural. But that should not stop us from finding comfort and finding solace in understanding the journey that our loved ones are on. In understanding, comprehending the journey that our loved ones are on, meaning those who have already passed on, and the next stage in our journey as well. Because we are all on a journey. This is just one phase of that journey. The fact that we are here right now, here alive in this world, this is just one phase of the journey. As believers, we don't believe that when a person passes away, why do we say pass away? It's because they have passed away, they have passed on. We don't believe that it's the end. It's not the end. You just pass on to the next stage. So this is an opportunity for us to understand what happens, to prepare for it, and to reflect upon it. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and as we have experienced, that each person must experience it. Every person, every living being must experience it and must taste it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in three places, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, right? That everyone shall taste death. And in one place it says, then ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, then unto us you shall be returned. And this is in fact contrary to what's prevalent now. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us to remember and to remind ourselves about. He has encouraged us to reflect upon it. That's why he said, فَزُورُ الْقُبُورِ, visit the graves. Go visit the cemetery. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْمَوْتِ. In another place, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. Right? Visit the graves, for they remind you of death and the hereafter. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us, he would do that himself as well. Right? He would go to, and then the point of it is not to go and to freak yourself out and to get all sad. Right? But the point is to go so that you can reflect, and it's actually a very effective way of putting things into perspective. An effective way of putting things into perspective. Because in our daily lives and things that we are busy with and we're involved with, which are also important, I'm not trying to diminish that. Right? Sometimes we get carried away. It's a fact, we all know that. Right? Whether if you're into sports, you get carried away with sports. If you're into eating, you get carried away with eating. And sometimes it's very visible. Sometimes, you know, you're a workaholic, you get carried away with your work. Different things. So we get carried away in different ways, in enjoying the world and so on, so on and so forth. So it's an effective way of putting things into perspective, so that we can reflect and we can take a step back and say, okay, what are the things that really matter? Right? What am I spending my time, my energy, and my wealth on? Is it really worth it? Is it actually going to help me in my next stage? Right? So it's an effective way for doing that. And thinking, how well are we preparing? Right? How well are we preparing for what lies ahead? So like I said, when a person passes away, when a person dies, as we say, they haven't just disappeared. For us, they appear to be gone. They're no longer with us. Right? But rather, what has happened? They have passed on to the next stage, onto the next dimension in the journey of their existence. So what actually happens? What actually happens? How does a person move on to the next stage? Now you have to understand, and it's important to note, that this is one of the areas of the mysteries of our existence. Because obviously there's no one who's actually gone and then come back to tell us that, oh, this is what happened. It's a one-way street. So we can't compile evidence and you know, data to figure out, okay, what happened and what experience, what's felt by so many people and do some sort of study. We can't do that. Right? It's a one-way street. And it has to do with our soul. It has to do with our ruh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is knowledge that is in His domain. The knowledge surrounding the issues surrounding the ruh, it has to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. It's in Allah's domain. Right? So people would ask, some people would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the ruh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say what? يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they ask you about the soul. قُلْ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, say that the soul is something from the command of my Lord. It's from the matters of my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that I have not been, and you're not given from the knowledge but a little bit. So even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the knowledge that he had been given regarding the ruh, right, regarding the soul, was little bit, was limited. Right? So this is from the domain and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but he has given small bits of pieces of information, of knowledge regarding this. So the Prophet ﷺ was given some knowledge, which is relatively little according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the matters pertaining to the soul. Thus we base our understanding on that. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always speaks the truth. You know, the Prophet ﷺ always spoke the truth. So our knowledge, our understanding surrounding this matter is based on that. So what happens? What happens at the time of passing? So when a person is passing from this dimension onto the next dimension, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. That the angel, Malakul Maut, that the angel of death who has been assigned for you will take your soul in full. So we understand from that there's an angel who has been assigned to do that. Then you'll be brought back to your Lord. So this is how our transition takes place. Is when our ruh, our soul is taken by Malakul Maut, by the angel of death. Now it has been heard, and I have heard as well from people, from relatives of those, of some people who have passed away, anecdotally, that sometimes the person who is about to pass away is actually able to see the angels coming. And so there have been instances where people have said, oh, they're here to get me. Oh, I see them coming and they point and everyone else is looking and I don't see anything. Right? But actually, they were able to see the angels coming to get them, and this is possible, this can happen. Now, this time, because we are going on this very important journey from one dimension to the other, right, so for example, think of yourself as taking a really long trip somewhere where there's a lot of travel involved and you have to fly and then, you know, change like 3 planes and then get on a boat and then get on like a 4-wheeler. Happens, right? People live in like villages and faraway places and you have to make a lot of travel. There's you know, you're stressed out. It's a time of, it can be a time of confusion. There can be some not pain and suffering with regards to travel, but there can be some stress that can be felt. Now, this journey from this dimension to the next dimension is a lot more serious than that. It's a lot more serious than that. So it can be a time of confusion. It can be a time of confusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, has referred to the term sakratul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the term sakratul maut, which is the days or the agony of death. Right? So when that time comes to move on, there is something that is felt by that person and it may not be very pleasant. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt it and he was stressed out. Aisha radiallahu anha related that on the occasion when the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to pass on, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a small vessel of water placed before him, and he began to dip his hands in the water and wiping his face with them. So he kept wetting his fingers, his hands, kept putting it on his face. And he said, La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Indeed, death brings with it agony. So even the Prophet ﷺ felt something. He said that indeed, death brings with it agony. Then he raised his hand up and kept repeating, Fir Rafiq al-A'la, in the most exalted company. Until his soul was taken and his hand fell limp. And this is reported by Imam Bukhari. In another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha said that he made the dua that, Oh Allah, help me to overcome the agony of death. So this is something which is naturally felt by everyone, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had felt it as well. Because, now if you think about it, this is something that one has never experienced before. This is something that a person has never experienced before. This is the first time you're experiencing, so it's a first time experience. Right? Throughout your life, of course, no one has felt it before. Right? And there's many things that could be going through a person's mind. Right? There may be pain, there may be a type of despair, there may be regret, there may be thoughts about family, about property, about different things, about regrets, or there could be good thoughts as well. So there's different things that is going through, that possibly could be going through a person's mind at that time. And also, and this is very important to remember and to understand, that it is also a time when shaitan pounces. So when the soul is being taken from the body, from a person, that is the time when shaitan decides to pounce. And he takes advantage of that opportunity. Because of that state of confusion, because of knowing that that is his last chance to get this person. Right? Because once the person has passed on as a believer, then shaitan has lost one more person, right, that he can never get back. Right? So this is his last chance. So he tries. And he tries his best to try to claim that person and try to confuse that person and try to deceive that person. So this is also very important to remember. Now of course, if we are in that state, obviously we should try to recite the kalima, we should try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we are in a situation where in our family, we are at home, or wherever we are, we see someone who is in that state, who is about to pass away, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that we should encourage them. We should encourage them to recite La ilaha illallah. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, encourage your dying ones to say La ilaha illallah. Okay? He said encourage. Okay, he said encourage. He didn't say enforce it. Right? And force them to say it. And the reason for that, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person's last words are La ilaha illallah, Jannah will be guaranteed for that person. So if the last words of a person are La ilaha illallah, then inshallah Jannah will be guaranteed, paradise will be guaranteed for that person. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like I said, has instructed us to encourage the person to say the kalima. Okay? So that means when a person is in that state, like don't go up to them and, you know, say La ilaha illallah, say the kalima. You don't want to do that, because in that state, that person, you don't know what state they're in. They could get annoyed. Right? It could be bothersome to them. They could get annoyed, and in that state of annoyance, they might actually end up saying the opposite or something worse. And we don't want that to happen. Okay? So we softly and kindly, you know, recite the kalima La ilaha illallah, remind them of it. Right? So say it, encourage them to say it slowly, and we keep saying it, and they will get encouragement, inshallah. They will be reminded to say it as well. There's also some hadith that indicate that it is also beneficial to recite Surah Yasin. So Surah Yasin could be recited, should be recited when the person is passing away. Some minor differences of opinion regarding that, but a number of scholars hold that view. What else happens? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and there are a few narrations, that when a believing slave comes close to the hereafter and nearer to the end of the present life, angels descend to him. Prophet tells us what happens. Angels descend to him. Their faces are shining. The angels that descend, their faces are shining as if the sun is on them. So really bright. You know, if you see a mirror that has the sun shining on them, you see how bright it is? Well, something like that. They have a shroud from the shrouds of Jannah. They have a shroud from the shrouds of paradise and scent for embalmment from the scents of paradise. So they bring a coffin, they bring a shroud and good perfume from Jannah. And they sit far from him at a distance that they can see him. Then the angel of death comes near to him till he sits near his head and addresses him saying, O good soul, come out to divine pardon and consent. And the Prophet ﷺ added that the soul of the believer comes out flowing as a drop of water runs out from the mouth of a water skin. Okay, so to hold water, they would have the skins, they would store water. So how does it flow out? It flows out very quickly, very softly, very naturally. So that's how Prophet ﷺ has described the soul of the believer coming out from the body. On the other hand, when the disbelieving slave, so those who have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they come close to the end of the present life and near to the hereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the angels descend to that person from the heaven and their faces are black. And they have al-musuh, a kind of harsh clothes on, and they sit far from him at the distance. Right? So they look scary, they sit at him from a distance and they can see him. Then the angel of death comes nearer to him till he sits near his head and addresses him, come out, O wicked soul. Come out, O wicked soul, come out to divine discontent and wrath. And the soul does not want to go because it knows what's coming up. It's afraid. It doesn't want to go. So the soul, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the soul goes in a different direction from his body. Right? It wants to go the other way. Then the angel plucks it out as a skewer is extracted from wet wool. Okay, so to describe that, if you have a branch or if you have something that has thorns on it and it's stuck inside wool and it's wet, right? You can imagine how difficult it would be to pull it out. So that is how the Prophet ﷺ has described the soul coming out of someone who is evil or who has rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah protect us all. So when we see that a person has passed on, what should we do? We close the eyes, straighten the limbs, because after a while, the body can become stiff, right? So if the person is not in a straight position, then it may become difficult to straighten him or her. So straighten the limbs, and perhaps if the mouth is not closing, you could tie a piece of cloth around the mouth so that it doesn't remain open. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he would stop by a grave and he would weep until his beard was wet. It was said to him that you remember paradise and the hellfire, but you do not weep. Yet, you weep because of this. So you remember, you know, Jannah and Jahannam, and you don't weep, but you weep because of being at a gravesite. He said, I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that verily the grave, the qabr, is the first stage of the hereafter. The grave is the first stage of the hereafter, so whoever is saved from it, then whatever comes afterwards will be easier for him. That if he is not saved from it, then whatever comes afterwards will be harder for him. In another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we think about, okay, so what happens next? So when the person is prepared and they are you know, covered and shrouded. Yes.
Imam, you said that they say Ibn the last words, and the evil or God is coming to get him, will he automatically change to the good angel, or will he stay with the bad angel?
Well, if a person, that's a good question, but if a person is dying with the kalima la ilaha illallah on their lips, then that means that they are dying as a believer, right? Believing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, we would expect that whatever good that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, meaning the good angels come, then that would happen to that person. Okay? And the description of the scary angels, that has to do with the people who were evil or who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, right, that when a dead body is placed on a bier and men carry it on their shoulders, if the deceased was pious, right, if the person was pious, it, meaning the corpse, will say, take me in haste. Take me in haste. Because it is looking forward to what comes ahead. It wants to move forward. But if he was not, it will say to its bearers, woe to it, where are you taking it? Right, doesn't know what's happening next. He says, where are you taking it? And the Prophet ﷺ says, very interesting. He says, everything except human beings hear its voice. Everything except the human beings hear its voice. Had a human being heard its voice, he would have surely died. Prophet ﷺ saying that had a human being heard its voice, he would have surely died because of, you know, experiencing that and how scary it was. And this is reported by Imam Bukhari in Sahih. Now, when a person is buried, so we take the janazah, we go to the cemetery, and the person is buried. But what happens then? So we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that their soul, the ruh, it travels into the different levels of the seven heavens. Right? As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has created seven skies, seven heavens, seven earths. So it travels into the different levels of the seven heavens until, and this is for the believers, until it reaches the top. Until it reaches the top, so it goes through all and it's sent ahead until it reaches the top, and it's registered in the top level, right, in the penthouse. Right? It's registered in the top level, which is the Iliyun, if it was pious and if it was the soul of a believer who was good. And if the soul was of a person who was evil and who was a rejecter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not granted entry. So it says, no, door closed, you can't come in, can't come in, can't come in. And then it is sent to the lowest, to the Sijjin, which is the lowest levels of the earth. Now this part, when I came across this, made me smile. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when this person's soul is taken up, it is met by the souls who ask him, so the other people who have already passed on, it is met by the souls who ask him about the living, and they ask, and they say to one another, let him rest. And then they say, what happened to so and so? And then he says, so basically they have a conversation, right? So this soul goes, the ones that are there from before, they welcome that person, and they say, okay, we have an opportunity now to find out about all the other people, what's going on, let's get an update. Right? So they start having this conversation, that, you know, what happened to so and so? And then he did a righteous deed, and then what happened to so and so? And he has, oh, he's not come here yet, no. Okay, he hasn't gotten here, oh, he was taken to the pit of hellfire. So basically they meet one another, they visit one another, they talk about what they used to do in this world, what happened to the people of this world. So each soul will be with its friends who did similar good deeds. And the reason why it made me smile was because I had an uncle who passed away. And mashallah, he was always the type of person who would be sort of like the life of the party, or you know, the gathering. He would always be, "Assalamu alaikum everyone," and you know, "How is so-and-so doing? Come on," very active, mashallah. So I could sort of imagine that, you know, what he would be going through, and he would really be enjoying that opportunity, right? So Allah, so the Prophet ﷺ has told us that this is also something which happens. Then the soul is returned to the grave. The soul is returned to the grave, and then the person hears the footsteps of people going away, right? So as we walk away from the grave, then the footsteps are heard by the person, by the person who has passed away, and then the questioning begins. Okay, so before the questioning begins, the soul is registered in whichever area it's essentially destined to go in. Okay, and then the questioning begins. And then I won't get into the details of the questioning, but then there's different understandings, different possibilities of where the soul actually resides. Right? So some of the scholars have mentioned that perhaps some of the souls are actually punished in the grave, because the punishment of the grave is something which is true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect it. Others are allowed to go back up into Iliyun. Some are stationed in the courtyard of Jannah. Some believers sometimes remain in their graves as well and receive, you know, glad tidings and gifts and so on there. Some are sent to the lowest level, to the Sijjin. The reality of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is what is in store for each person, right? So whether we are a believer, whether a person is not a believer, regardless, you know, regardless of whether how pious we are, this is something which is a reality which has to be felt by each person. Right? So we reflect upon it, and we use it as encouragement to do more good. Right? We use it as encouragement to correct ourselves, to do more good, and to constantly seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for preparing ourselves. Right? So we have an idea of what could be in store, we try to prepare ourselves. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us that guidance as well. Right? So we're not out in the dark, where we have no idea of what to expect, or that what is going to happen next. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given us the guidance. So we have an idea, we can prepare, and we can, you know, do the right thing before that time comes. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an easy passing. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He grant us an easy passing when the time comes, so that we have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the kalima la ilaha illallah on our tongues when that time comes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for us and for others who have passed on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from difficulties in the grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He grant us ease in answering the questions of the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the agony of death and grant us a beautiful and peaceful passing. Ameen.